before we do that, before we do that, Tal, let's just recap on another topic that we really, really, it's exactly the same chidushei Torah that we learned on Shofar. Just want to recap one little point, touch on one point that will serve as a hakdama to the next point, and that is, this year, the first day of Sukkot is Shabbos, which means we do not take the lulav and the esrog. And when you go buy a lulav and esrog, you should tell the moicher that there's no reason why I should have to pay full price, and certainly there's no reason why I should pay more this year than last year, when this year there is no mitzvah d'oraisa to take lulav and esrog. Because the Midaraisa, the only chiyuv, lulav and esrog, is the first day of Sukkot. And that's it.
Don't you think they'll have an answer for you?
I'll tell you their answer in a few moments.
No, the second day is the first day.
Second day is the second day. There's no chiyuv d'oraisa to take a lulav and esrog this year. First, the only time there's an obligation, l'kachtel chem bayoyim harishayin. By Yom Harishon, only on the first day, and there is no first day this year, and if there's no first day, because Shema Yavirenu Dalet Amos Bereshus, Dalet Amos Bereshus Sarabim, so there's no Chiyuv, so therefore, we only take on the second day. Now here's the dilemma, this is a big topic of discussion. What happens if a person, by mistake, wakes up in the morning, the first day on Shabbos, and he takes the Lulav and Esrog, and he picks it up and he makes a bracha, he makes two brachas. He makes the bracha al matilas lulav, and then he makes a shechayanu. Has he fulfilled a mitzvah d'oraisa? Has he made a bracha levatola? If he made the shechayanu on the first day, does he make the shechayanu on the second day?
But yesterday we mentioned why we don't do it on Shabbos, because we are afraid that we will carry it.
Correct.
So in your home, if you pick it up, if you do it, so what's wrong with it?
Because it's a general rule, even though if you pick it up in your home, you may have a question, a dilemma. Is the esrog kosher? Is it not kosher? Which hand do I take it in? Do I put the hadassim on the right side, the left side? Who knows? You know what? There's a rabbi across the street. Let me go ask the rabbi. And you'll, in your excitement, you'll pick it up and you will cross the street, and you will ask a question. Oh, because that may happen. A person may have a halachic dilemma, what to do, and he may come to take the dalad minim to a rabbinic authority to ask a question. And by doing so, he may live in a country where there is a reshus harabim d'oraisa and carry the lulav and esrog. So Chazal established, we don't even want this to possibly happen in the beginning. We nip it in the bud. Do not take on Shabbos a lulav and esrog.
But any Shabbos is possible that you may think, oh, maybe I need to ask the rabbi a question, make it. It could be on your mind, the same idea.
It's true, but it's a novelty. It's a novelty. Since you only do this once a year, it's a novelty. Other things, you have a question about your crock pot. Let me bring the crock pot to the rabbi. I'll give him a bribe. I'll give him some of the challen to eat. And he can answer the question of exactly how are we supposed to conduct ourselves on Shabbos with my crock pot or with my appliance. Those things can happen every single Shabbos. So when it happens every single Shabbos, it's not a novelty. So Chazal can't just go blank and everything is going to be osur. So they did not make an enactment. But when it comes to lulav and esrog, because it's a once in a year event, and as Rabbi Naiman mentioned, that is the chavivus, a special love for the mitzvah of the dalet minim, he has a real concern that a person will accidentally come and carry it in the rishus ram. There's always a person that brings the dalet minim to shul the first day on Shabbos. I saw this. Always happens. Always, yeah. People, they come to shul, they walk into on Shabbos. I once saw a yeshiva bachar, a high school boy, a good boy from a very good yeshiva, very good family. He walked into shul on Shabbos with his lulav and esrog.
Don't mention the yeshiva.
And someone said to him, it's Shabbos today. He goes, oh, what did I do? Okay? So it happens. It happens. People go and they carry. Even when it's Shabbos, they just wake up in the morning. Oh! And the truth is, that ma'aseh happened.
So, but that's for individuals. Very small minority, and we ruled for the majority.
You're asking a very tough question. Why you're saying that it does seem to be a bit of an overkill, yeah. Right? So take it in the house. You have a reminder. Erev Tavshilin. There's no Erev Tavshilin this year, but when there's an Erev Tavshilin, so we send out announcements and messages.
And somebody will not do it.
And they still forget.
So right. So you're right. You're right. So you're saying is the Jewish people are very sophisticated.
I'm just
you're right. You're right. Let me ask another question. If all of the different malachas, the malacha that we should really be concerned about is not the malacha of being mavir, dalit amos, birishus harabim, the malacha is choytzav hachnasa. By stepping out of your house into the street, you're in violation of choytzav. And when you walk in from the street into the house, that's hachnasa. Why did Chazal select shema yavirenu dalit amos, birishus harabim? There's something much greater. There's something that we're missing. I don't know what it is, but it's a very good question. It would appear to be, from our perspective, an overkill. An overkill. We should just prepare ourselves for Shabbos, Sukkos, and remember that we should not take the lulav and esrog to shul. We should do it in our homes. Or if you have an eruv, then you don't have a problem. Or better, the best thing was bring your lulav and esrog to shul before Yom Tov. What's so hard? Bring it before. It comes Yom Kippur, okay? Everyone comes and brings their machzor and their kittel before.
Now we have, everybody has now very available. I grew up, was one in the city, in the shul.
One Levin Esrog. My mother, my mother told me I once came home Erev Yom Tov with a bargain. I had three sets of lulav and esrog. I got like a bargain for nothing, whatever. So my mother was like looking at me, what? You have for yourself three sets? She says, I remember my father in RJJ, my grandfather was a Rosh Yeshiva. There were three Rosh Yeshivas there. All three of them shared the same set. These are Rosh Yeshivas, Gedolei Yisrael. Here I'm a little kid, okay, a little kid, a 13, 14-year-old kid. I have for myself three sets. My mother was saying, wow, times have changed. I remember when my father, and he mentioned the other two, Gedolim, they shared one set. And here, you little nobody, you have three for yourself. Like, what's going on over here? What has happened?
Times have changed.
Baruch Hashem, whatever you want to say about it. So, you're right. They were keeping it in the shul because they shared it. You're right. There is something that we're missing. No matter how you look at this, you think about this a lot. It is a tremendous chiddush. It really is.
The Gemara says basically that the reason you're allowed to carry it home after you do the mitzvah is only because you leave it in shul, it's going to get lost. Someone's going to take it or something like, you know. You'll never know which is yours.
All right, so we'll figure out a way to guard it.
Right.
I mean, we first create the halacha, and then we'll find a practical solution. It shouldn't get damaged. It shouldn't get stolen. There are a lot of things that that the Jews are very, very creative. They're very innovative. They'll figure out a solution. Just say the halacha and we'll get it done. So there's a message. There is a message Chazal are trying to convey to Klal Yisrael about Shabbos. Now, they say Rav Moshe Feinstein. I don't know. Everyone will tell you another story, and I've heard from people that were there at the meetings, and it's a big, big bilbul about the Flatbush Erev. Big, big, all these different stories, the Tshuvis, and this, and this, and this goes on forever. One thing is for sure, Rav Moshe came to America, he saw Chil Shabbos that shook him to the core. There was just no such thing as Shabbos in America. Shabbos was, and it hurt him very, very much. And but many people have commented this, that if Moshe Feinstein in his Piskei Shabbos is very machmir. He's very, very machmir. He's extremely makel in many other major issues in halacha. Many issues, Rav Moshe is the first place to go to find the heter. When it comes to Shabbos, anyone that wants to be makel in Hilcha Shabbos, they steer far away from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Yep. Because when it comes to Shabbos, you're not going to find any leniencies from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe, when it came to Shabbos, Shabbos is sacred. You don't play around with Shabbos. Chazal told us, Sukkos and Shabbos? No. There's no Lulav and Esrog. There's no Shofar. Shabbos is Shabbos. There is, it appears, after everything is said and done, because you go through these sugyas and you come across this all the time. In modern America, 21st century, it's a little bit of an overkill. You can't take Lulav and Esrog on Shabbos, you can't blow Shofar. Why not? If you're a lamdan, you can go find 100 reasons why. There's no issue whatsoever why we should be able to take Lulav and Esrog on Shabbos and Shofar. Chazal, they were smarter than us. They were way ahead of us. They knew everything that we knew. And yet they said, there is no Shofar on Shabbos. There is no Lulav and Esrog on Shabbos. Get it through your head. Shabbos is Shabbos. And the message that they convey through these two mitzvahs, it lasts, it makes an impression upon us the whole year. The whole year. Shabbos. You freeze in your tracks. Because you remember,
it says to do it, right? Okay. And we can go around and we can say, and I think what we didn't touch on is that because it's a mitzvah saseh, we're going to be bubble and we're going to be worried. More than you're cooking your chalk. You don't have your chalk. There's not a mitzvah saseh to have your chalk. And all the other things, it's not going to be a mitzvah saseh to do. This is a mitzvah saseh. But sitting here and thinking just blew my own mind. Why those two mitzvahs? And milah, which is also a mitzvah saseh.
You do on Shabbos.
And you still do on
Shabbos. Oh, that's right. Milah.
Just as I'm thinking now, why? If we're going to be worried about everything, why aren't we worried about
So you just said something very interesting. You see in Eretz Yisrael, you see blowing shofar. There are people, listen, I'm missing something in my spirituality, but there are people are very worked up about the tekiyos. There was always my father was Rav of a shul, and there was always a balabas. So those days, there was a life in Flatbush to some degree. And there's always a balabas that would shepherd with my father. He didn't like the tekiyos. They were not up to his standards. And he would say, I'm going home to blow the shofar again. Like there are these people that like the makri is responsible, you know, the Baal Tokeya blows, and the makri is responsible to decide if the tekiyos are good. And there are some people in the audience of the shul, what? The rabbi let that tekiyah go by? I'm not going to renew his contract. Am I, yes, you ever have such a balabas? Give you a hard time?
Rabbi Elizabeth, Rabbi Teitz, they blow 130 kolos.
130?
130, yep, they do.
Why 30?
They blow an extra 30 if the davening is over.
Why?
It's a minig, they don't know exactly why. It has nothing to do with the permutations or whatever it is. They blow an extra 30, but it's starting to wane a little bit in the minds of people. But nevertheless, that's what they do. It's the only place in the world like that.
In that book, I have a book from the Baal Tokeya from Breuers. I think he quotes that minhag also. He quotes all the minhagim, all the different minhagim. There is such a minhag of 130. It's not so common in our community, but you're right. Blowing the shofar, there are people that get very worked up, and it has to be perfect. And there are different types of shvarim, and there are different types of teruos. There are so many different minhagim, the Shema Achash, Dein Neshimos, 100 Koilos, and there are people, not me, I don't even know these people, but I know maybe there's one guy that I know is a little bit like this, where they're very worked up, and it's a mishigas. It has to be perfect, 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 perfect. They believe that their destiny in life depends on hearing 100 perfect Koilos, and if everything is not perfect, they have to do it again. They go to this shul, they go to that shul, they go to different places to hear koilois, different types of shofrois, different types of methods, and it's going to stir the Shabbos. It's going to stir the Shabbos. Lulav and Esrog. Look, you go to a shul, you see the Rebbe, certain, depends when you go, all different today, especially. Today you have so many options. You have the Yichus, the Teimonim, there's a Yanava Esrog, and a Teimoni Esrog, a Meraken Esrog, in Eretz Yisrael Chazunish, a Chazunish from this paradise and that paradise, and there are different types of Hadassim, like there's a new thing now, Rashi Hadassim. I got it for someone. I wouldn't buy. There's someone. He asked me to give him. Rashi, no Rashi. Rashi Masechta. Rashi is a Peldik Rashi. Rashi in the Sukkah. I forgot which daf it is. Describes Hadassim. And Rashi says it explicitly. Each row has to have 9 Hadassim. Well, we have 3 on each row. There are 3. Rashi explicitly says each leaf is 3. So each row is, he says, 9. It's 3, 3, 3. Each row has 9 leaves.
Do you have a picture of it?
I have that. I mean, 2 years ago, I got it. I bought it off of me. It cost $75 a set. Someone asked me to pick it off of him. I got it, $75, and he was so happy, and he invited me to his Suda, and at the Suda, he had a big Suda, and he showed it to the people at the Suda, and he went to the Gemara, and it was a beautiful, the whole Su'udas Yom Tov in the Sukkah, he had the Gemara, this big Shas, the Nos Chosn Gemara, and he read the Gemara, and he read the Rashi, and he read other Rishonim, and Imamish demonstrated what are Rashi Hadassim. No one even heard of this. And in Eretz Yisrael, someone was able, I don't know how they do this, or the genetic engineering, fertilizer?
He genetically engineered he took us to his house when I had him for Rebbe to look. He told us in advance that he grows genetically engineered the Hadassim and Aravos by him in his backyard, and he grows them so they're perfect, each one.
The Aravos today in Muncie are all genetically engineered, you should know.
Right.
The Aravos in Muncie, they're all, they have techniques that you would blow your mind to produce Aravos. Hashanah Rabbah is a big deal. It's a big multi-million dollar business, the Aravos. They do, my brother used to tell me years ago, he looked and he told me the whole, what goes on with the fertilizer, when they fertilize it, it's a science. When they cut it, when they ship it, to get it picture perfect. That's for Aravos, here in America, in Muncie. Okay, we're not even talking about what goes on in Eretz Yisrael. And Hadad is something called Rashi Hadassim. 2 years ago, I got $75. Each row had 9 Hadassim. It was unbelievable. And this is exactly what it says in Rashi. And last year, he sent me again. They had none. He says there was nothing available in America. It got ruined. It was, the customs didn't want to release it. All Gansa Maisa. I don't know all the stories, but the end was they were all ruined, and they didn't have any Rashi Hadassim in America last year. I already asked my supplier, "Are you getting Rashi Hadassim this year?" He says he hopes so. He doesn't know for sure, but he hopes they're going to come, the Rashi Hadassim. So why am I telling you this? How did we get into this? People get all worked up. People get all worked up with Esroigim, with Hadassim, with the Lulav. There are a lot of halachas. And you see in shul, many, it depends where you daven, there are some Rabbonim, Rebbes, that are very choshuva set of Dalid Minim. It means a lot to them. And their students, their Hasidim, they come and they take them and they shake them. They shake them. This is a Minug Yisrael. There's something about the Yoifi, if you're a Maimin, you're a Shemayim, there's a chavivus that the mitzvah should be done b'shleimus with all of the hidurim. Okay, whatever this is all about, you have to have a neshama that has this beautiful sensitivity to this. Okay, you know, where I daven, you know, over the years I've been davening many different places, and I can tell you as a fact that I listen to the tekiyos, and Baruch Hashem, we learn over here the halachas, spend a lot of time learning about tekiyos and all the different number of tekiyos, and I got to tell you, It's not uncommon, not rare where I hear tekiyos in some very choshva places, And I say, wow, you really let that go by? You really let that tequila go by? And some of that blatant mistakes, I certainly, like, there was one thing happened that I saw this year, which is mamish, basically the guy, he ended up doing a tequila, a shvarim terua. Once you do a shvarim terua, you have to go back to the tequila. You can't just, it's all messed up. He didn't. He just, I mean, things that are totally, totally wrong. I mean, as far as I know. And the Makri, I don't know. The Makri is a Talmud Chacham. Maybe he just was confused. He let things go by. Would I have the chutzpah to go over to him after davening and say, you messed up big time? I'm going home now, and I'm going to give a clap. And I'm telling anyone who wants to hear the tekiyas again here in Shul, we're doing it again because the rabbis now arts. You got to be mamish, a tippish shebetipshim and a rasha to do something like that on Rosh Hashanah. The Rav Paskins, it's good. It's good. Mind your own business.
It's on his head.
No, it's not. I don't even look at it. It's on his head. It's like, it's good. You don't go in shul and say a word. You don't go and organize or come to my house with, hey, you're looking for trouble on Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin. Mind your own business. The Rav, whatever the Rav says, good is good. Leave it alone. But the truth is, there are people out there that are really worked up and they can't control themselves. I don't see these people anymore. I think unfortunately there's a Yuridus Hadoiris where people just don't care, like they just don't care, like me. It used to be people, they were very passionate about religion. They were very passionate. It meant so much to them that they would do crazy things. They would bother, they would shepherd the Rav. Like, you know, I had this very big dilemma on the Yom Ram. The Baal Tzila, I'm telling you, he skipped a paragraph. He skipped it on Rosh Hashanah. It's a short paragraph. He skipped it. And like, I'm looking at this, like, you skip it. And I show the guy next to me. Okay, the other one maybe did, maybe didn't, because they were singing something before. So the next day, on the day number two, when he came to the same exact section of the davening, I was watching like a hawk. He skipped it again the second time. And I had this dilemma. Should I go over to him and say to him, you know, you skipped this line. It's an important line. It's not my agave. It doesn't say, it's not the part, it's not the korbanos. It doesn't say Baruch HaTosh. It's not the chasim of the bracha. And it's certainly not my agave. But it's part of the Nusach HaTzvilah. It's a short paragraph. It's the three lines. You mamish skipped it. You didn't say it all together.
But people skip a lot of different
things. No. This is part of them. This is not part of the slichas. This is not part of the slichas. This is part of the Iker Nusach HaTzvilah. Like, you mamish skipped it. So, like, no one else here notices? No one's paying attention? So my question was, should I go over to him and ask him what's going on over him? Maybe there's another Nusach. Maybe his machzor is a different machzor, a different nusach. Mm-hmm. Do I really know for sure? So after the first day rush, I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to go chepa. You know, that's not my nature. What? No, whatever it is. So whatever, it's not important. No. It's something which I think is very important, but obviously.
I say ain't kolokim. When I say all the different.
That's not the akev, those things.
But this guy, he skips one and he says, in Bavli, this is what they skip. This whole.
Okay. So maybe that's the answer, but it's very unlikely. It's very unlikely. So I this first day I ignored it. I said maybe I'm making a mistake. The second day I followed along, and the guy next to me, we're gonna watch now, and he skipped it. No way. So the other guy doesn't really care, but like, he basically acknowledged I was right. So I was thinking, the whole aseres he made teshuva, should I say something to the person? I didn't. I really, because I forgot. That's really why. But it came Yom Kippur, he skipped it again. So I look at his machzor, I try to see what machzor is he using, a different machzor. You know, I want to see his machzor. Before I go and I go open up my big mouth, I don't want to, like, you know, show off. You know, he's the Baal Tzvila. He's a mumche. So I don't know. So I do plan sometime this year, Habolenu L'Toiva, at some point in time, you know, to ask him, right. But I'm happy in hindsight that I didn't. I'm very happy. And Yom Lerum is not a time to fight. It's not a time to make him feel bad. I know, but somehow I just feel, I don't know, I could be totally wrong. It can't be that it's Ma'akev. It can't be.
Is there a higher authority
there
than
him?
Hashem.
Is there a higher authority
than... Is there a Rav on top? Is
there
a Rav Shiva on top of it?
The Rav Shiva, it's not their thing. It's not their thing. They probably weren't paying attention.
Ooh.
They probably weren't paying attention. No, it's not. It happened right after an elaborate melody. Not elaborate, you know.
What did he skip?
I'll tell you later. I don't want to. I'll tell you probably a baruch after it's over. I'll tell you. And the truth is, in Shacharis, it's a little bit different. That's why I was. Maybe I'm wrong, because even though in all of the Siddurim it has this line, but since in Shacharis it's a bit different, so maybe a different machzer, a different nusach, a baruch, I'll tell you all the details out afterwards. Whatever it is.
Why could you pick at his machzer during the
davening? You're right, I just didn't have the presence of mind and the opportunity and to go chepa, to go up to where he's sitting over there and go fight with him and go, you know, I'm the big know-it-all guy. I'm a nobody. I'm not looking to go start with people that have been davening. He's been davening for many, much longer than I'm been around. Okay, a guy, you gotta know your place. Baruch Hashem, mind your own business. What am I trying to bring out? Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. These two mitzvahs in particular, there's a lot to do. There's a lot of halachis. The halachis of Dalet Minim are very complex. You go into go by an eshuv, everyone is looking up at the with the loop looking, the lines around the block. Rabbi Spiro over here. Rabbi Spiro, there are lines around this house. Everyone's bringing him the esrog to go paskin on the esrog, if it's kosher, not kosher.
Rabbi Jay Howard says to me when everybody was doing that, because he doesn't understand. So what don't you understand? He says they do this by the esrog. Did they bring them
the mezuzahs?
The mezuzahs still look like that? To see, is it
limited? Some of them do. The B'nai Torah, there's a whole scandal with the mezuzahs, the whole thing.
Now, whatever. But he says, everybody's so with the running and
they're
standing online and everything.
Okay, so Hanach Lohem Li Yisrael. In Einam Nevi'im B'nai Nevi'im. There's something to it. In Esrog, there's something very holy about an Esrog. We look at it. We don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. What's the big deal? You just buy an eshuk and that's it. Shake it and go home. Go to sleep. What's the big deal? It looks a little, a bletel, not a bletel. It's all kosher anyway. It has to be in our neshamos, hanach lohem li Yisrael, in einam nevim, b'nei nevim. There is something very holy and special. Ulekachtem lachem b'yayim harishon pre-eitz hadar. There is a yearning in your neshama to have a pre-Eitz Hadar. There's something to it. Don't make light of it. If this is the Minhag Yisrael to go Meshuggah over your Esrog, in Lakewood they pay crazy amounts of money for an Esrog. They pay outrageous, they don't have what to eat. Okay? Their parents are supporting them. The in-laws are supporting them. They're living every day. They have daigus of what's going to be tomorrow. And yet, not everyone, but a lot of people, a lot of people. How do you know that? Because the amount of money of tzedakah that are collected to distribute for aniyim is enormous. And even though it may seem that in Flatbush and Borpark and Lakewood, everyone is a billionaire, it's not so. The billionaires ruin it for everyone because most people, the vast majority, are very poor and have a lot of daigus of parnasa. And yet, you see that B'nai Torah, they spend an enormous amount of money to buy a beautiful esrog. There is something to it. What is it? It's in the neshama. It cannot be defined. There's something that we are not, we don't understand, but that's how it is. And we don't chep it with it. Therefore, you just said it yourself. Shabbos, if there was a mitzvah on Shabbos to take a lulav and esrog on Shabbos, it would stare the whole Shabbos.
And I just thought of the reason to my question about the mila.
Yeah.
Because we're worried that you're going to go to the Mumcha. Here, the Mumcha is doing the Mila. So who's he going? He is himself.
Also, there's a halach that you're not choizer on the tzitz in Sheinah Ma'akvim. By Bris Mila on Shabbos. On Shabbos. You don't go back on the tzitzin Sheinah Ma'akvim.
You're not going to
mila because it's being done by the mumche.
By the mumche. It's like kriyas haTorah.
And number two, the chiyuv is on. I was saying also is on the child. So you can't cancel what I got to do for the child.
The mishnah you learned the daf yomi. The mishnah is that he's on the father. Mitzvah habein al ha'av. It's really the father's mitzvah. You can't really say that. Okay, it's a good question. It's a good question. It's not for every single person. I think actually I saw somewhere. I think I saw your question asked somewhere. And now you're bringing why taka do we say that milah is not doicha Shabbos, even though it says vayom hashmini, but not on Shabbos. We'll make a chazal because you might carry the knife, you might do this, you might do that. Gezera. The answer I now remember. It's because it's not common. Mitzvahs for yechidim. Yechidim. Lulav and Eshrug and Shofar. Every single living person has to take the Lulav and Eshrug and the Shofar. Mila, how many babies are born? The percentage is a fraction. Baruch Hashem, there's a population growth, but it's not every single person. So for that, Chazal did not interfere. Did not go and cancel the mitzvah on Shabbos because of Shabbos. But think about it. You said the answer. There are a lot of details when it comes to blowing the Shofar. The fact that it's the minhag Yisrael to blow 100 koilos, and the fact that dalad minim, you look what goes on out in the street of bnei Torah who buy dalad minim and how much sugar they go about it, it's going to shter the Shabbos. What is it? The Gemara says Shema Yavirenu dalad amos birshus sarabim. Okay, the Gemara doesn't say if it's going to shter the Shabbos. How come the Gemara didn't say it's going to shter the Shabbos? The Gemara says Shema Yavirenu Dalid Amos Bereshus Sarabim. You'll go to a Chacham to ask him what is the halacha. Maybe you can argue, maybe not. It's going Dafka to go carry in the street. That's all part of the nervousness and the chavivus of the mitzvah, which will completely overtake your oinig Shabbos. Vikoroso la Shabbos oinig. That's the haftorah of Yom Kippur. Vikoroso la Shabbos oinig. Taka, think about it. There's a lot of problems that go on with the dalad minim. And you know, we take it for granted today because today, Baruch Hashem, there's so many, everyone has a set. So you shake this one, that one, you finish, you're done. But not every generation was so fortunate. People had to go find a kosher set of dalad minim to hear the kol shofar. We know even today it's not so simple. When is he coming to blow shofar? People have anxiety the whole day. Person who's homebound, will he come to blow shofar? I have to sit by the door. I'm not going to hear him bang on the door. I have to go somewhere. Got to get a kosher shofar. The shofar doesn't work. This and this and this. There's anxiety. There's anxiety, especially if a person is a Yorei Shemayim and it means something to him, the blowing of the shofar, the taking of the dalad minim, it's going to shter your Shabbos. And Chazal said Shabbos is what keeps the Jew. More than we keep the Shabbos, Shabbos keeps the Jew. Shabbos is sacred. There's no blowing shofar. There's no dalad minim. Don't look for trouble. Don't shter your Shabbos. It's a very powerful statement.
Historically, he said that by Mila, we have Mumchen. True, you have Mumchen, but it doesn't say the favors that you must have a Mumchen. By Shechita, it says, right with CNA, so Shechita Mumchen. It doesn't say by Mila that you must.
Yachid, we know it's back to Yachid. Everybody has to do Lulav, and everybody has to hear Shavuot. It's only Yechidim that are doing the Milas. And needing a Mila.
But the Lord of Mumchen doesn't necessarily.
Okay, now let me now. Now, let us review this beautiful machlekes. We really spoke about this. Not what I really want to speak about. But what happens, this is just kedai to appreciate this here especially, what happens if, by mistake, I saw my own eyes. I saw Yeshiva came on Shabbos carrying his lulav and esrog. It happens. You could wake up in the morning. Now, think about that. There are people, everyone is different, when they wake up in the morning, they go into the sukkah, before they go to shul, and they shake lulav and esrog, in order to combine the two mitzvahs, and they in the sukkah. So if you go to shul, most shuls don't give you time to go out into the sukkah to shake lulav and esrog.
There's also an Indian to do before that. As early as possible.
So that's machlokes. Why do I say it's machlokes? Because I appreciate this point. that when you make the bracha al netilas lulav, what are you making the bracha on? Those who daven nusach sfard, or those who daven nusach ashkenaz and have broken tradition, and do the hoshanis right after hallel, right? Nusach sfard does the hoshanis after hallel. Nusach classic, true nusach ashkenaz does the hoshanis after musaf. But today, there's a mingling of the minhagim. And today, it is not uncommon to go to a shul that davens nusach ashkenaz and observe them do hoshanis after hallel. It's not uncommon. That's the way it is. When my father became rough, the balabatim of the shul put a lot of pressure on my father that they should change the minhag. I guess they wanted to copy what other shuls were doing and to do the hoshanis after hallel. So my father says, I don't know if we can do that. Let me ask Rav Moshe Feinstein. And my father went to Rav Moshe Feinstein. He asked him, the balabatim are really pressuring me to do this. What is the halacha? And Rav Moshe basically says, you can change. He says, if it means so much to them, and they don't want
practicality.
Right, that's what he says, what kind of shul, you know, you have tables, you have chairs.
People will go home and not stay.
Not come back, right. So Moshe told my father, you can change. I'm shocked. I'm shocked how many Ashkenaz shuls have do Hoshanis after hallel. I've never seen, though, a Nusach Sfard shul does Hoshanis after Musaf. Am I asked, you ever see a Nusach Sfar shul that does Hoshanis after Musaf? Never seen that, right? You never seen such a Dr. Binsak. You ever see that? A Nusach Sfar, it only goes one way. So the truth is, those who do that have an incredible advantage. And there's an afkamina. And that's when you make the bracha Asher Kiddushon B'mitzvah Yisrael Al Netilas Lulav. If you make that bracha right before Hallel, you're making the bracha on the shaking of the Lulav and Esrog. On the shaking of the lulav and esrog during hallel, and on the hakafos of hoshanis. L'may nafkamin, don't talk. You shouldn't talk, because if you talk, no, there's the hefsek is a big sugya. If it really is a hefsek, if you talk, but if you're doing the bracha is chal on everything in one shot. If you take the lulav and esrog in your sukkah before davening, there's a massive hefsek. Very nice, you made a bracha on the lulav and eshuk, you shook it in your sukkah as a yachid, and now you have coffee, you go to shul, you have a conversation, you have a shir, you daven, you shmooze, laning, auction, all the mishagasana go on, and now we're up to halal, and then you shake the lulav and eshuk. Wait a minute, the bracha you make on shaking is long gone. You did this 7 o'clock in the morning. It's now 10:30 and you've done a million things in between the time that you shook lulav and eshuk in the morning from the time you come to shul and shake lulav and eshuk during halal. And then what about hoshanis nusach ashkenaz kriyas haTorah? We can have an auction first, right? And then we're going to do this is haTorah. It's a massive head. Then we have musaf, a chazan, Azoyan, all these things that go, and then, now Hoshanis. You're living in three worlds. You shook in the morning in the sukkah, before you had breakfast, and then you shake lulav and eshug during halal, and then you have another hefsik, and you shake after musaf. How many times did you make a bracha? Once. How many times did you do an ikur of the mitzvah sayoyim? Three times. There are three ikurim. There's the making the bracha and shaking, ulakachdam. There's saying halal. There's a tremendous inyan to say halal, smachnu l'fneshem l'kechem, to say halal with your dalad minim. We don't appreciate what this means. You know, one of the most beautiful memories I have of Aaron Shach, the Zech Tzak Levracha, is watching him do Hoshanis in the early years, not in the last. I'm talking about way, way back. I never saw this before, and I probably never will see. He danced. When he did Hoshanis, he mamish danced. For real. It wasn't make-believe. He danced with the lulav and eshuk.
No, 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 no,
No, I couldn't really see him because I said far away. The Nunum also, he shook it. A lot of shaking went on there. I don't know, but the Hoshanas I was able the Hoshanas I was able to see when they walk around. Hoshana, Laman Hoy, and he walked around. He mamish danced. It was like a wedding. He was mamish. It was a very beautiful image, especially when I was very, very little. I remember Cholamoid, we would go on a trip. Before we go on, we're going to go learn. We're going to learn in the Beis Medrash. So we'll learn Chaim Berlin Beis Medrash. So we came there. I davened 7 o'clock in the morning. We came there, and they were middle of Hashanah. They were finishing Musaf. And I was a little kid then, and there weren't too many people. How many people were there? Not more than, I would say, the most 100 people in the old Beis Medrash. Maybe even less, maybe even 50 people. And there was the Chazan was doing Hashanahs, and he was mamish. I walked in, and I saw him surrounded like an entourage, and he was mamish, like mamish dancing, a wedding. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And then as I got older, you know, I used to come, but then he already, people started watching probably, so he stopped doing it. And then when he got older, it wasn't the same anymore. He wasn't so well, whatever. But it's a very big inyan to go shake, to go around. You know, unfortunately, you go to some shuls, it's holding is just, you know. We unfortunately lost the flavor of these beautiful minhagim. Not to our fault, because we lost an appreciation. But these are big in yonim. And when you make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shem Umalchus, Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaYolam, Asher Kedeshanu B'mitzvot HaSavisonu, Al Netilas Lulav, the bracha is chal upon all of the mitzvahs hayoyim. The nanuim, when you take the lulav and eshug, the nanuim of halel, and the nanuim of the hoshanis. So if you can go and make one bracha and not be mafsik, that's wonderful.
Are you advocating that,
right? What?
Are you advocating that?
Why not? I'm not. Don't change your minhag. Whatever you do is your minhag. But if you already are davening in a shul, you woke up, you didn't wake up early enough to go into your sukkah and shake lulav and eshug. You come to the shul and they're not giving you time to go to the sukkah. So if you're already in that mitzias, okay, this is where I find myself. I'm now going to make a bracha. And in 30 seconds, the shot's going to start. And then in this shul, they're going to do hoshanas right away. So you might as well, what harm is there that right after you do the nanum, don't have a conversation. You see this all the time. People make a baruch atah Hashem, they make the two brachas, and after they make the two brachas, they shake the lulav and eshug, and then the shots did not yet start. Oh, could I see your eshug? How much did you pay for the eshug? Oh, let me see your eshug box. My shver gave it to me. Yeah, my mother-in-law, she didn't like it. Hey, they have a whole conversation goes on. We're eating today and this, that. You just blew it. You made a bracha. The bracha is for everything. You have an opportunity now to shake the lulav and eshrog, to go right into halal and shake the lulav and eshrog during hoydu and ona Hashem, and immediately thereafter to do hoshanis. Why should you ruin it? Why ruin it with a foolish conversation about where you're eating lunch today? Why blow it? You make the bracha, have in mind, the bracha is for all of the mitzvahs hayoyim, for the nanuim, for the of the halal, for the hoshanis. Especially if you daven a shul, they can do it right away anyway. You chaper on everything in one shot. It changes your appreciation for the mitzvah hayoyim.
I'm not going to promote Ashkenaz because that's not me. But obviously they have some sort
of course they do.
Car for doing it.
Of course they do. Of course they do. What's the shaila? But it's not a hefzik either, because you're not supposed to anyway be mafzik during davening. So big deal. So Ashkenaz, so they finish halal, so they lain, and they daven musaf. Whoever told you to have a conversation, it's anyway not a hefzik. Whatever you want to say. Look, the shofar, well, they announce in shul, by shofar, we're now going to be make mikhaim a mitzvah d'oraisa of tekiyah shofar. We're going to blow 100 koilos. Everyone should have kavon to be yoytze. And no one... It's one mitzvah. No one should be mafsik until the very last tekiah at the end of davening. Rabbi Yisai, I told you this before. That is a hoax. It's not really a hoax, but they tell you, you make a bracha, and you're not allowed to be mafsik until the end of the every shul makes this announcement. Don't say Baruch Hu Rich Shemai, and they're not allowed to be mafsik until the very last tekiah. So you do the 30, and then during Chazar Sashatz, another 30, and then another 40, unless you're blowing during the silent Shemoneh Esrei at the very, very end. And it's one big mitzvah, and you're not allowed to be mafsik. Let's say you were mafsik. Let's say you had a mistake and you spoke. Well, would you have to make another bracha? No. The truth is, the reason why they make this announcement is they just don't want you to talk. But the truth really is, after the first 30 koilos, you can talk. You can talk. How do you know you can talk? Because it used to be the custom in many shuls, they had the kiddush after the first 30 koilos. And that makes a lot of sense. It solves all the problems. Yeah, you blow the first 30 koilos, and then you have kiddush. You eat a little bit, and then we daven musaf, and we blow shofar, another 30, another 40. Oh, you were mafsik? Oh, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. If you take a cup of coffee, and you make a shaha, kol nihiyah bidvaray, and you take a little sip, are you allowed to talk? Are you allowed to talk?
Before you finish
it, no. So let's say I talk. I made a shah, kol niya bidvaroi, and I take a teeny little sip, swallow it. And now 5 minutes later, I want to take another sip. Do I have to make another bracha?
No.
Of course not. I made a bracha. The bracha was schal upon. Was schal upon what I've consumed. The bracha is a good bracha. The bracha is fully active. It is not closed. And I can continue now eating as long as I want.
As long as you don't have
right, but I'm allowed to talk. I'm
a, I understand. That you don't have a
you, and you'll tell me Birchas Hanenin is different than Birchas HaMitzvahs? Who says? The only time Birchas HaMitzvahs is different, where you're not allowed to be mafsik, is when there is a bracha acharoina, a chasima, when you get an aliyah. No, Megillah is not really. When you get the only real really good example is Kriyas HaTorah. When you get an Aliyah, the Oyla is not allowed to talk. Oh, but he learned already three Pesukim. I was Yoytze. He said, "Asher Bochar Bonim Mikol Hamim Venos Lanois Teres Zabrochat Hashem Nasein HaTorah." And the Baal Kriya learns three Pesukim, and now the Baal Kriya says, "You know, I have to step out for a moment. Please wait." And they close the Sefer Torah, and he goes out for a moment. And the guy is by the bima. Is he allowed to talk? Why not? He ready. I made a bracha rishona. I read three. They read three psukim. There's a hefsek for whatever the reason is. When he'll come back, we'll be mamshich, and my bracha rishona is still active. You're not allowed to. You know why not? Because by kriyas haTorah tachazal we're misakein, there is a bracha acharoina. After you finish the kriya, you say Asher Nosan Lanu Toras Emes V'Chayi Olam Notar B'Secheinu. When you have a mitzvah where the mitzvah is designed as a sandwich, a bracha rishona and a bracha acharoina, then you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle.
And your coffee, you don't have the bracha
acharoina. Oh, good question. Not the bracha acharoina is considered to be completely separate. It's not connected to the bracha rishona. Bracha Rishayna and Bracha Achrayna, Hayelichud v'Hayelichud. It's not a set. It's not a set. Megillas Esther, Harav Esri Veinu is also not included, which means it's a very important halacha to know, because this happens very often. It happens every time I go and I lay in someone's home. It's always happened. Always, in this year, the same thing happened. I go, I sit down to lay for an elderly person. I begin to lay. And what happens? You know what happens. After I get through two parakim, the telephone rings. And the woman said, "Can you hold on 1 second? Are you crazy? We're laying the Megillah." "No, I'm not going to hold on. Ignore the telephone." No, she has to answer the telephone. "You know, I'm laying the Megillah." And I think, "Oh no, what am I doing now? I'm not, the whole thing is, she was mafsik in the middle. I stopped in the middle." She doesn't know the halachas. Can't blame her. They don't know the halachas. And you know, by certain people, the telephone is bikuach nefesh. If you don't answer the telephone, it's mamish bikuach nefesh, no matter what the answer. Or if the doorbell rings, the doorbell, and they come in with them, shalach manos. "Oh, you look so cute, you dressed." I'm sitting there with the Megillah open. you know, this is ridiculous. So what is the halacha? Do I have to start all over again? Do I have to start all over again? So I asked this, so the answer is no. That's the halacha. You made the bracha, you lay in three psukim, the people that you're laying for can be mafsik, not a lechatchila, they can be mafsik all they want. Because they need to hear the entire Megillah in order, and a hefsik, as long as it's not too elaborate. Bracha, once you made the bracha was chal, it was not levatala on the least three psukim.
It says in the Mishnah that you could lay in Serugin.
Backwards. That's the machlokes in the Mishnah though. What does it mean, Serugin? What does it mean, Serugin?
But interestingly, it can tie in.
So what do you see from that? You see from that halacha by Megillah that once the mitzvah is chal on a bracha, you can take a break and you can be mafsik. And when you continue to be mahader in the mitzvah, the bracha, you don't lose the bracha. So therefore, when the Rabbanim announce in shul, we're going to blow shofar, it's a derais have kavana, don't answer baruch of ruch shemo, and you're not allowed to be mafsik until the very, very end.
Except for Asher Yotzar, they said that
also. Oh, how you allowed to be mafsik Asher Yotzar? Asher Yotzar is not, that gets his ghost. Wait, whoever told you that? Whoever told you can't be mafsik? You're making up stuff over here. This is in every single shul. You're not allowed to be mafsik? Who told you can't be mafsik? Who told you that? You're not allowed to be mafsik for the first 30 koilos. That's it. Once you get through the first 30 koilos, it's not al-chatchila to be mafsik. But it's not, what halacha? Where does it say you can't be mafsik? I'll show you many kilos where they had a kiddush after the first 30 koilos. And anyway, you say these piyutim and people sing along, Simcha li artzecha. Really, that's not a hefsik? That's not a hefsik? Why is that not a hefsik? You need to say Simcha li artzecha v'sosan li recha. That's part of the Nusach HaTfilah. What happened to the microphone here? That's part of the Nusach HaTfilah? Who says? You're making up things. It's very, very late. You're making up things. Zel b'zach, when it comes, how do we get over here involved? Oh, when it comes to you make the bracha in the morning on the tilas lulav, it goes for everything. Even though you're mafsik. But lechatchila, if already the rabbanim are telling you don't be mafsik until the very last tekiah, it's a very beautiful thing. If you can make the bracha on the tilas lulav and don't talk, and have in mind, I'm making the bracha for all of the mitzvahs, hatluyos boy. I'm going to shake it. I'm then going to shake by Hallel. I'm going to do Hoshanis. I'm going to steal the rabbi's lulav and eshek and shake his lulav and eshek also with this bracha in mind. Matav v'manoim. Okay. I'm not going to cash. Let's go to the zaka. It's going to be time to have a mission. I'm going to have a mitzvah. I'm going
My wife's grandfather.
Yeah, he's not coming back to live the comic book. Grandfather. Even last time he came back early because his wife needed.
Okay.
She had a big problem in her back already. It was going like a long time. So she needed to go back.
I brought him to get a maxer. Show you what I'm referring to.
Yeah, listen, all these kids.
I brought you there?
Yeah.
So if you, I don't have a machzor here. I don't even know if there's a machzor here somewhere. But in Musaf after Chamol. After Chamol. Let me try to find a machzor. Let me try to find a machzor.
So the question is, there's a machlokes. It's machlokes between Eger and Chelkas Yoyim plus places in the Ram. It's a big topic. Basically, some say that when Chazal say that you should not do a mitzvah, they will oiker the mitzvah so much that if you make a bracha, it's a bracha levatah. You don't even get credit for the mitzvah at all. And some say they can't do that. So, if you make a shachriyanu on the first day, according to one opinion, a shachriyanu is bachelor because there's no means. But you have to make a shachriyanu. You know, but it's fine because the hashpachinu is a shachriyanu. Sfar will make the first and not the second. It was going to the Sfar, going to the first and not the second. Make a shachriyanu on the first day. According to one opinion, the shachriyanu debate on the first day is a bracha b'matala. You need to make a second and not. By the rule of an eshem, it's not. Why? Because according to the ikar hadin, the time to make the shachriyanu on the rule of an eshem is a bracha. So even if Shabbos is no mitzvah, there's no mitzvah on Shabbos. Let's say you go to an extreme. And the Rabbanan said, don't do the mitzvah Shabbos. There's no mitzvah. Zero. But Shechianu, I can make it. Because really, I was supposed to make the Shechianu when I bought it. The Shechianu has nothing to do with Shechi. The Shechianu is acquiring the moment. I acquired it. So that's not a bracha levatah. Shofar, the shachinu, you do the mitzvah. There's no mitzvah today. Bracha levatah. There's a difference between the shachinu on the shofar and on the Ruv HaNesh. Shofar, you would have to make the second shachinu, but the Ruv HaNesh, according to everyone, you don't make another shachinu. Only because what's the reason why you make a shachinu? Huh?
I respect
the fine, it's good. It's better. I'm starting to share that came to Shaya. I just took preparation for all these things.
I used yesterday's time. I went to pick up the ruler. Because I didn't have to make it today. It's good. I'm not sure. Not the whole one.
It's also not
sure. Yeah, he's got And we also say after the Kinsman.
They sell the rules?
After Harvard we go.
Oh, you're right away. You do right away. Yeah. You don't like those Ashkenaz.
Yeah, but the Kinsman is mixed up. They used to have a rabbi, Musa Svar. So he introduced a lot of things.
Svar, you know.
Yeah. Like we say the yom
before
Shachas.
So much did I say that then the rapper gives a speech.
It was convenient. It was practical.
Yeah, that's what they did.
I think what it was for Shulam does say that so they leave.
That's why.
So in order to prevent
that. Yeah, that's what I didn't want to say. A lot of them after rain is already out.
So they don't say the yom, they don't say it's a different. You would have to shock us that way.
Yeah.
Still say it.
And then you deserve the kid.
To each his own.
A bracha, you get a machzor. One second. Baruch, I don't have a machzor, but you have a machzor?
I have a machzor.
Okay, look at Musaf, Chazar Sashatz, Chamol. What is the paragraph right after Chamol? Right, that line.
It's part of the Chazar Sashatz.
Correct. It's part of Atah Kodesh. It's part of Atah Kodesh.
It's even in Rosh Hashanah.
It's exactly the same thing in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That line appears in the... Everyone where I daven has only the Art Scroll Siddur, one version or another. Right.
That's part of Chazar Sashat.
That's right.
You skipped it?
Skipped it. It can't be Ma'akev. How do I know? Because the halacha is if you just say Ata Kodosh V'Shimcha Kodosh U'Kodosh... What?
Then you're covered. If you say the covers, you're covered. You're covered.
Well, I don't understand.
You said Ata Kodesh, you're covered.
You're covered. You just say the. You just say Ata Kodesh Shimcha Kodesh Kodesh Bechol Yom Yaluch Hasel Baruch Ata Hashem Hamelach Hakodesh Yoytze.
Right. Yoytze. That's a major
omission. Now go look at Shacharis. I don't have a machzor. Look at Shacharis on Yom Kippur. It's only Yom Kippur, not Rosh Hashanah, but you don't say Chamol.
It is in Rosh Hashanah.
Right, by Rosh Hashanah Musaf. Rosh Hashanah Musaf.
One second, I'll find you in a second.
It is by Rosh Hashanah Musaf. The same exact Nusach is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Musaf. Look at the Chazoras Hashatz of Shachris Yom Kippur.
One second. On Yom Kippur?
Yes, Yom Kippur Shachris.
Okay, one second. On Chazoras Hashatz, you say?
Chazoras Hashatz.
Okay, so one second.